Welcome to episode 180 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. Today, on location at the Blue Dog Tavern on the west side of Michigan, is Adam.
Derek.
Linz.
And today we had a great time talking about a great many things.
We reviewed Barrier Number 1 from Brian K. Vaughan.
And we talked a lot about The Force and May the Force Be With You.
And also The User. Now, we had a great time talking about also Vader Down on our Booze in a Book. So please enjoy episode 180.
May the Force Be With You.
And also with you.
Several very strange pets.
Okay.
Like what?
At one point, I had a hermit crab for like 2 years until it died on top of a piece of coral in this little fishbowl that I had.
Aww.
But it still looked like it was alive because it was a hermit crab and it was just sitting there, like looking at me with the sad little beady eyes.
So how did you know when it was dead?
Well, I touched it and it fell off the coral and like splayed its legs out. So I assumed at that point that he was dead. That said, do you think you could eat a hermit crab? I mean, he kind of looks like a little like angry shrimp.
No, you can absolutely do that. It's a lot like crawfish.
That's kind of what I thought. Now, that said, I had a slightly weirder pet at one point.
What's that?
In sixth grade, this is a ridiculous story. My English teacher was at the Meyer over by her house, and apparently they had mud puppies, like the salamanders, pre-salamander.
Yeah.
So, and they were $6. So she got a whole bunch of us salamanders if we paid her for them.
Okay.
And I had one in the same fishbowl that the dead hermit crab was in, which was not very big, and this thing was probably a good 7 inches long.
Aww.
So we just kind of swam in circles, and then one day, he decided at about 6 a.m., and my mom heard this and got up to flop out of the bowl and splat onto the ground. It was probably deafening.
That was bad.
I apologize. This is our horror core show, apparently.
Yeah.
We're going to have lots of bangs and lights.
But he was still alive after that. That's not how he died. His death was worse.
Oh.
Which is terrible.
Shit.
I gave him to my friend McGee to watch while we went on vacation for a week to, like, feed the salamander, because you have to.
Someone named McGee does just not sound reliable.
No. It wasn't actually him. It was his mother. Because, believe it or not, salamander poop stinks, and the water gets kind of nasty, and you have to change it every now and again. So she decided the best way to clean the salamander tank was to bleach the rocks.
Oh,
and
no.
Apparently, no matter how much you rinse it, the bleach still lingers, and the salamander turned white and floated.
That's not funny.
That's
totally funny.
So, dead mud puppy.
She bleached it.
She bleached my mud puppy.
Yes, and I'm the only person who's ever found white mud.
That's why I am who I am today.
I mean, that's
weird.
That's weird.
I have not had weird pets.
No?
No.
I had a chinchilla growing up.
Okay.
Very soft.
But yeah, my mom had one for her classroom. So we had a chinchilla in the house all the time, and it was really cute. I would cuddle with her like a lot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. My boss when I was younger.
She was.
My boss growing up
so,
was my mom.
Child labor, guys, not funny.
She has sugar gliders.
Oh, those are
things
cool.
Are cool. They're super soft.
Yep.
But.
And they're cuddly.
She let them fly around all over the place.
We glide around.
Glide around. And I worked in a restaurant, which in hindsight doesn't seem.
Kind of gross.
The best idea.
Unless the sugar gliders are literally like fly by dropping sugar cubes in your coffee, in which case it would be both ironic and iconic.
It was really awkward being at Grand Rapids Comic Con and seeing the sugar glider booth.
That was the weirdest.
That in the Four to Trip Margaritaville booth.
Yeah,
I was just like, these don't. No,
it's like they needed to fill space, and these people were willing to put up the money.
All right.
For booth space.
Nerds love little tiny hamster things.
I'm gonna say I'm disappointed that I missed that.
You didn't see the sugar gliders?
I didn't go this year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I had to
you
miss
had
it.
Shit going on, didn't you?
I had important things that adults have to do, I think. I remember not liking it.
Did
but
you have, like, a play or something?
Yeah, I was in a play that weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I was directing a play that weekend, and so they get kind of gnarly with you if you don't show up.
Yeah.
I didn't think I winged it.
They already knew the script.
Yeah.
You're a good enough director. You can just let them
see, and that's what
go
I
on
said.
Their own,
they were
right?
Like, but you're running the sound booth, and you're playing guitar for the musicals. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I gotta be there, don't I? Well, yeah. Guess I'm not getting hammered with my friends watching Comic-Con stuff. It happens.
It does. It does.
C'est la vie.
Yeah. So, hey, guys. Welcome in. We are here at Blue Dog Tavern in the west side of Grand Rapids.
Beautiful west side.
Beautiful that, west side.
That's
on
what
a,
you want to call it?
I love the west side.
West side. You know what?
West
I'll tell
side
you.
Pride.
With as many cool places are popping up all over the west side, this is going to be a very, very, very cool place in the next 10 years.
Yes.
A lot of people are going to... I've already started moving into the area. They've got a... New Holland is putting in their $10 million concert venue.
Really? Yeah.
In brewery right here on the
right
west side.
Down
yep.
the street, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fancy.
So, yeah. Oh, no. We're going to have a lot of businesses popping up all over the place. It's not going to be only the West Sider Cafe that's drawing people in to, like,
best
food.
Breakfast in Grand Rapids.
It, very,
then
very,
Wolfgang's. Like,
yeah.
Those are the two.
Yeah, and they're on the opposite end of town, so they don't
I
really
know.
Compete with each
no.
other.
No, not at all.
So, yeah, so if you hear any, you know, really loud bangs, we'll try and edit them out in post-production as best we can, but,
We're day drinking, so you're just going to have to deal with it.
We're day drinking, and that's the thing, and when Derek day drinks, he slams his head on the table, and it's a glass countertop with his little wedding ring, and...
It is little, I have little tiny, like, he has little girlish fingers.
He has carny hands. They're slightly terrifying, but in an almost
they're,
sexy
they're good
kind
size.
Of way. Are they?
When a girl says it's a good size, she really just means it's small.
Thanks, mall rats.
It's a motto to live by, guys.
It is. Also, I'm gonna, definitely an important one to cry by later on when you realize that that's your life, folks. That's your life.
Full sad.
Yeah, it is. So, starting off today, we're actually going to start with a review.
Yes.
We, all three of us, have to give a huge shout-out for the digital era of downloading and pay it for what you want comic books.
Yes, it's amazing. It's PandleSyndicate.com.
It was?
This certain website that we're talking about where we got this comic.
It was a very Humble Bundle style of a comic. Pay what you want for it and
yeah.
download the digital copy. So.
Right. And as an artist, you hope that it just kind of evens out to what you would have charged for it.
Right.
Between the cheapskates and the people yep. who are like, I'm going to pay for my art.
Well, you know, and I accessed it through Facebook after you had shared it with us. And it said that like 9,800 people have liked this particular section. So if you figure if every one of them pays a dollar, which
right.
is a negligible amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
You know... He's not doing horribly for a distribution. Like,
no.
That's actually pretty cool. And, you know, it's going all for right straight to the artist, which is an excellent, excellent site. So.
Right. And it's smart because a lot of people are downloading their comics now off, like, Comixology and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So why not just do it yourself and cut out the middleman?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, the comic is...
Barrier Number One, written by Brian K. Vaughan. And we also have Marcos Martin. I think he does the art. And then...
And a lot of the translation work, apparently.
Munsta Vicente.
Sounds good.
I think that's the colorist.
Yeah.
Which, the colors in this are...
Very cool.
Amazing.
There's actually an afterwards where the authors give a shout-out to the colorist.
Yeah.
And I was like... One, that was really nice of
yes.
them. Two, you absolutely needed to. Like,
for
the
sure.
the way that this is run through, the art is very, very minimalist in most of the
yes.
sequences. And then when something happens, it gets really elaborately colorful
yes.
very quickly.
For sure. So, I mean, to start, I guess the basic premise of this book is it takes place on...
The border,
the Mexican
American border.
Border. Yes.
Not to be confused with the American-Canadian border that nobody lives at
right.
or cares about.
Exactly. Free walk across
yeah.
that,
yeah.
nobody cares.
Yeah, yeah. They just make sure you're not taking too much awesome Canadian chocolate.
I was going to say that.
Back across the border.
You don't want to be like the smuggling route for your Tim Hortons maple logs across
what?
There.
Or, wait, turtles. Did you guys hear about the turtle smuggler?
No.
Turtle smuggler?
Some guy tried to smuggle a bunch of... This is completely off topic, obviously.
That's
but...
fine. I mean, no, it kind of goes with it because
yeah.
this is all about smuggling things across the border. So, yeah, please.
He totally tried to smuggle, I don't remember, like 20 turtles across the Canadian border. They're expensive turtles, I guess.
Are they like banned in America turtles or something?
I'm not sure. I mean, they're really weird about transporting animals across borders because for that reason.
It gives me a second McGee story
okay.
about his dad. Sorry. Second McGee story about his dad. He one time was coming from Maine and bought a lobster.
Okay.
Two of them, actually, and had them in a cooler in the back, and he tried to go across the Canadian border with said live lobsters, and they said, do you have any live animals? And he was like, I hope so. And then they confiscated his lobsters.
Oh, yes.
So some poor Canadian Border Patrol person ate well that night.
Yeah. But this guy had, he had the turtles taped all over his body under his clothes.
Huh. Turtle armor, man.
I mean, that's an option.
So either he was trying to sell them, or he was literally trying to turn himself into a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
I mean, both of them are feasible.
Worst way possible.
See, when you said that originally, I thought he was actually stealing, like, turtle, like, because you said chocolate originally. I'm expecting him, like, you know, like boxes and boxes of, like,
turtles?
Pecan turtles. And I was just like, I mean,
they sell those here.
I feel like you can get them pretty much anywhere, unless he's got, like, this favorite, because everybody's got their favorite chocolatier.
Right.
Like, I would smuggle some of my favorite chocolatier stuff out, but, you know, I would be stealing lots of coffee crisps made by Nestle. They're the coffee loaded candy bars that they have there. I love those things.
Right.
I grew up on them. My one of my best buds, Zach, his stepdad is from Canada. And so every time we'd go and visit family, he'd come back with like boxes of them.
Nice.
So, I mean, that's what I would smuggle. But they're not alive,
no.
So I guess it makes it better.
Yes. They're not turtles that you can tape to your
Anyways,
body.
Now that we've digressed.
Now that we've digressed. So the other border issue that we have, not smuggling turtles, but actual people.
Right. People smuggling. So I want to start with talking about the horse head, you guys.
It's very Godfather, which they even referenced.
I know.
Which was awesome.
I also liked the still panel where, like, you said some guy named Vito did this? Yeah. He turns and stares at him. I'm going to keep going with the plot now. Like, it was a beautiful break.
Yes. The horse head was drawn, like, it's very impactful. Mm-hmm. I mean,
skinless, like, creepy horse head.
Its tongue is sticking out. There's flies all over the place.
Yep.
They did
Eye
great,
is gone.
Like, watercolor blood underneath it to look at, like, it's soaked into the ground.
Yep.
But it's a beautiful image. It's disgusting as well.
It is.
But really disgusting.
That's but, what it needs to be, right?
I mean, it's enough that, too, as you're blowing it up high res, like, as you're reading through it, it doesn't grain out, it doesn't get weird, like, it's pretty quality, and it's pretty intense.
So, Liddy, who is one of the main characters of this story, she's the one that finds the horse head on her property in Texas.
Yep.
So, she takes it as a sign, like, a warning. From the cartel.
Like, cartels running across and using her property as a, like,
right.
transportation area.
Like, this is mine. This is my alley. This is what I'm going to be running through here.
Yep.
Don't mess with us or something bad might happen to you. And then next it switches to Mexico.
And it's all in Spanish.
It is all in Spanish.
On purpose.
Yes, because they are Mexican.
That's weird. I wouldn't have imagined that to be a thing.
Completely in Spanish. I don't speak a lot of Spanish. Do either of you guys?
No.
I mean, enough to get by, but
like,
I can't read it that quickly. There was a couple of times I was like, the hell is that word?
Yeah. Yep. I can say 5 words in Spanish. I can understand.
Only 3 of them you're allowed to say on the podcast.
Right. Well, we're allowed to say whatever we want on the podcast. But the nice thing about this is because the art is done so well, you know what's going on.
Yep.
Even though you maybe don't 100% understand what they're saying.
Absolutely.
Which is nice. Because, I mean, there's this one character in here. I mean, she's transgendered, I believe. They talk about her being a she-male.
Yeah.
Yep.
As a dude who's a lady. But, so this goes into them sticking all these people in a banana truck, essentially, and trying to sneak them across the border.
Yeah, and it is quite the arduous journey for our secondary main character. I don't even consider him a secondary main character. He has just as much panel time. They actually do a split panel down across as story progresses with the two of them kind of living out the rest of a 24-hour period together.
Which I totally want to talk about in a sec, because that is by far my favorite part.
It was very, very cool.
It was. So his name is Oscar. And he's actually in Honduras, so not Mexico. But so that's a long journey from Honduras to the United States.
It's a bit of a hike.
Yeah, a little bit. So you're stuck in this cramped-ass fake banana truck for God knows how long.
Yeah, you know, and he's... you know, almost gets mugged at one point, mm-hmm. and manages to turn it around,
yep.
as indicated by the black eye and on the mugger, who is now paddling a boat that he's using the
yes.
mugger's gun to make him paddle.
Yes.
And that's very much the don't fuck with me.
They show, you know, all the people sleeping on the ground, waiting for the train to roll by, so they can all hop on the train, and just the massive amount of people that are on top of that train is
kind of ridiculous.
Crazy to me. Like, there's clearly, like, Border Patrol or, I don't know, Mexican police or something going after them. And just to put yourself up on this train in clear view, super risky.
Oh, yeah.
So, how, I mean, you know, you just gotta be in a place where your life is so shitty that you're willing to risk that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Molly.
Come visit Molly over at Blue Dog Tavern. She kicks butt and she
brings us alcohol.
Brings us alcohol quickly and doesn't even, you know, interrupt the podcast any more than she has to.
No,
yeah,
yep. I think we interrupted it more than
yeah.
she did.
She's been great. She would have totally just, she's been setting stuff down and like getting us food the whole time without saying anything about it because she knows what we're doing. We didn't even ask. We didn't even tell her.
No.
She's just a rock star. So, come down here and tip her lots and lots of American dollars or pesos if you're from Mexico
right.
and you just happen to hear this and then, you know, jump on a banana truck and then
go
across the ocean.
Across the border.
Yeah,
and
so
yeah,
on and
yeah.
so forth. So let's talk about that split panel.
Okay, yes. So after, so it goes through him getting into the United States and our, what was her, Liddy?
Liddy.
Her, she's talking to people to try and get protection for her property and she's kind of a badass, I'm not gonna lie.
She's a tough woman.
She is. She's been through some shit. They don't say what, but you can tell it. There's been something going on in her life.
Apparently lost her husband.
Yeah.
It's referenced and verbally stated a few times.
Used to do a lot of lines of coke.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently she was a hard partier.
Yeah. So you get through those, and it gets to this, I want to say it's their way of, like, progressing the story quicker. Without getting too detailed, but it's literally on the left side of the panel is Liddy, and on the right side of the panel is Marcus. Marcus?
Oscar?
I guess I'm awful, you guys.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
It was
we
pretty
like,
bad.
Who's Marcus? Who's Marcus?
Marcus is one
lover,
of
the people
apparently.
Who helped on the book.
Yes, he is.
So.
But yeah, no, and it's really nice to watch that because it's showing how difficult his life is
yes.
over that. I think it's the 20-hour period or 24-hour mm-hmm. period.
Yep. In between each panel, though, is the sky.
Yep.
Just a big blank square of sky.
Yep.
And
yep.
it's kind of like a American Tale moment where they're both underneath the same big sky.
Absolutely.
For
no,
sure.
And I think that's probably a parallel they were wishing to draw upon.
Right.
You know, but they're also showing not only the fear that Oscar has, but they do a beautiful job showing the brokenness that Liddy has.
Yes.
Like, at one point, they show her sitting in her underwear watching porn with, like, a half-empty bottle of whiskey sitting next to her. Like,
yeah.
she's... and it's I think that one frame in particular is, like, the middle of the night.
Yes.
So it's like, she's clearly not in good place.
No.
Like, I mean, not that... I'm sure you, the listener, haven't had that moment where you're sitting up in the middle of the night
watching porn. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
we've all been there.
We've been there. Those are not our best days. And after we've gotten to the other side of them, we look back and say, man, I really don't want to hit that spot
right.
again. But, you know, this is both of them having that moment. Both of them are living in that moment where they're just, if they could get past this, if they could
right.
just continue a little further down the road, they know they'd feel better.
Yes. Another thing that these panels do is as they get closer together, Oscar and Liddy,
in actual
spatial,
geometric
yes.
space,
yes.
The sky panel shrinks. So the closer they are, the smaller the sky panel is until they share one frame. And he shows up on her property. And I believe she's got an alarm system set up through Homeland Security. Like, they have one of their big blimps over her property. Which I'm not 100% on how those work because I don't live on the Mexican border.
It's not Homeland Security on that one. That's Border Patrol.
Was it Border Patrol?
Yeah.
Okay. You're right.
Homeland deals with terrorism. Border Patrol deals with immigration.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're so much smarter than me.
I read the comic.
I read the comic too.
Literally, she's got some buddy in Border Patrol that's just like, unless the cartels are dropping ISIS pamphlets on their way through your property, Homeland's not going to care.
Right.
Which I chuckled out loud at. I was like, no,
joke.
That's very, very on the nose. Like, but it's apt. You're right. Homeland Security right now, they have their own hot button issue that they're trying to address. And if it's not directly in line with that, they don't care.
That's true. That's true. So then we get to the end of this comic, and are we spoiler free today? Do we want to talk about
it? Took a bit of a sci-fi twist.
I was going to say, we did tell them
to read
that
it.
We would be reading this and to read. So the spoiler is about to come, folks.
Yes. So
this is a book about language and the difficulties in traveling life and the immigration of and the presence of illegal aliens, both terrestrial and apparently extraterrestrial.
Yes. So they at the end, mothership of some sort of
looks like they're getting abducted.
Alien craft, definitely not of this earth. Sucks them up in their little beam.
Yep.
It's
very much the traditional blue light too.
Yes, yes. And the images are very graphic, the background is very stark. So all you can focus on is what is happening to them at that moment.
Yep.
And then it switches to them just kind of looking at each other and a no words needed, what the fuck moment.
Well, really because the panels just before that, they actually were trying to have an argument. She's like yelling at him, being like, I know you speak English, figure, you know, like, tell me what you're doing. And he's like, I literally have no idea what you're talking about. I do not speak English.
No English at all.
No English.
Yeah. So it brings it kind of full circle, though, because at the beginning of this comic, when she finds the horse head, her farmhand or ranch hand or whatever
he is. Yeah, about mutilation and chupacabras.
Yeah. He's going the total extraterrestrial route. She's like, you're an idiot. But turns
just kidding.
Out, So, thoughts on this book?
I also love that right after that line, he makes a comment about you can't blame everything on the illegal aliens.
Right.
And she's just like, murk, 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 like making side comments about it. And I started to giggle because at the end of it, literally everything that's been happening or everything that's happening to her now is because of aliens. Like, I guess she can't actually blame everything on the aliens. She's a little vindicated. Not necessarily the way she wanted
it. Right, right. For sure. So, final thoughts on this book, guys.
Very, very good look at xenophobia.
It is.
Yes.
In multiple ways.
Yep. Great.
I would honestly say I spent a couple bucks on the book, about what I would have paid in a store if it were in print, because I feel like that was fair.
Yeah.
Out of anything, and I can honestly say it was worth every penny spent.
Yep.
I know that it's a 5-part, and I'm looking forward to the next vein that comes out, and I'll definitely be picking it up.
Oh, me too. I for sure want to see what happens next.
I want to see the aliens.
Yeah.
I do. I really want to know what they're going to do, if there's going to be a little green med, because they did go with the traditional blue light sucking them up, which was like that whole art sequence in there was the most vibrant of anything they had done, and it continued to get more colorful the more chaos-driven the storyline was.
Maybe they were just a bunch of Canadians in like a blimp.
It could be.
Awesome.
Or this one could be picking them up and then like tucking into the bottom of a giant pyramid, and it's actually the French.
Oh. Only if they run away at the end.
Well, I hope so. This one, the chosen one, comes out with Tungi and beats them up. Maybe Oscar is the chosen one, and he has Tungi.
Mm.
I mean, it could be. Because, I don't know if you guys did hear this, Kung Pao 2 has actually been slotted for production.
Which is amazing.
So, I mean, there's going to be... Don't roll your eyes. Derek and I are, like, legitimately excited about this.
I know. You guys were very excited about it, and I'm like... Wah, wah.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be...
Have you seen Kung Pao?
Yes, I have.
Just making sure. It's ridiculous and amazing.
It is.
I enjoy the ridiculous. I don't share the feelings on this particular movie, but...
Well, you're wrong, but you're allowed to be.
I will concede.
Thank you.
Just so I don't have to argue about
it. You can have your own opinion. It's wrong. Then you can have it.
I mean, we're not going to take it from you.
Right.
We are going to look down on you.
Okay, that's fair. So, yeah, guys, go pick up this book. Barrier Number 1, panelsyndicate.com. Pay what you feel is appropriate. Yep. I would suggest not $1 because I think it's way...
Several dollars.
I would
several
more than
dollars.
Acceptable. Absolutely.
It's 53 pages.
Yep.
I think if it were in print, it'd probably be one of the smaller. It looks like the pages are like the smaller rectangular.
Yep.
So really, it's probably closer to like a full size 27.
Yep.
Page book.
It's, yeah, you're actually paying for a full comic.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind as you're going forward.
Right.
Because this is straight to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that they can continue to make more brilliant things like this,
right,
and like Walking Dead.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Oh, and football's on, so if you guys hear that, that's what that is.
Yep.
We thought we were escaping.
We did think we were going to escape this, but we did not.
No. Oops.
So, speaking of aliens, this is a rather important week in the history of the universe. Or, you know, galaxy far away.
And a long time ago.
I mean...
It's history. Ancient history.
Is it now? Because this is the future of ancient history.
That's true. We're too far in the future.
But we don't know. We don't know how far.
Well, it can't be that far if Han Solo and Princess Leia are still alive.
You don't know. Carbonite, man.
So if you guys haven't figured out what we're talking about yet, then you are not nerds.
And you suck. Go away.
You guys have been swinging and miss. Which one of you guys is taking your sad pills now?
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Sad pills or happy pills?
Sad pills.
No, there's both.
Yeah.
Uppers and downers.
Oh yeah, no.
Don't mix kids. Bad news.
No, they don't. It doesn't just even. They
just cancel
even,
that to zero.
Yeah.
No, does not do that. You're anxious and really sad about it. Bad news. Bad news.
I thought I could drink the Adderall away.
Yeah.
It doesn't work, I know.
Not, it doesn't.
So
it
I stared not. At a light on my PlayStation for 3 hours one time.
That's actually the lead to the dark side, which is what we're going to be talking about. As The Force Awakens is going to be simply a few days away here, coming out this Thursday in theaters.
Yes.
We are very excited.
Beyond excited.
Beyond excited. I mean, our nipples are hard. We had to wear extra bras just to make sure we weren't going to tear through the shirts that we're wearing all week this week.
I could cut glass right now talking about
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. I am trying difficult. Like, I actually had to wear, like, a dance belt and a girdle to make sure that I didn't, like, break through any of my trousers and embarrass myself in important business meetings.
You guys just need to learn padded bras.
Is that a nice nipple hider?
Yes. 100%.
Yeah, I thought it would be really a pasty over or something.
Yeah, I did pasties. You
did pasties are acceptable as well. I mean, you guys don't really need any support, so bra might be superfluous.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's just... Well, the problem is that I have such small nipples that it's like, it's one of those things, which we've talked about on the podcast multiple times. I have small nipples, so I had to trim the pasties down to about the size of a dime and then just put them over.
So just like those circle band-aids.
Effectively.
Yeah.
That's what I started
with.
Let's
get some electrical tape
but the
next
problem
time.
Is I was just, right. I was just so excited that it just pushed right through the band-aids and just pushed them off. And that was a problem. So that was an interesting digression to that.
Yes, it was.
So Star Wars Week. Yay. So I want to start this discussion off with a few important characters that we have not seen yet.
Okay.
And whether or not they will be in the film. Okay? Now,
film or the trilogy?
The film. This film.
Okay.
Not in the next three. Because in the next three, anything is possible. They haven't even finished... They haven't even finalized scripts on all of them yet.
Right.
As far as I know. Now, they've been doing a really good job keeping everything hush-hush on who's playing what actors' roles are going to be, what their requirements are, what their names could possibly do, so on and so forth. So the things that we are most considerate of now, first and foremost, is the Fett. Is Boba Fett going to make an appearance in this film? Derek, what do you think?
I'm going to go with no.
Why?
Because he was not in the first of the Star Wars films, A New Hope, which is number 4, actually, but... And he was not in Phantom Menace either. So this is the first of the new trilogy. I feel like Boba Fett will not be in there, but he could be in the next two. I feel like it's consistent.
You're going with the pairing of canonical occurrence.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's a fair argument. What do you think, Lindsay?
I have a really hard time with this one because none of the Star Wars books are canon anymore.
Correct.
And there was a great series about how Boba Fett escaped the Sarlacc pit.
Like a badass.
It was in the Tales of the Bounty Hunters originally, and it kind of went from there.
So then, I mean, if that happened, then of course it's possible that he would be in there. Who knows? He could have died. He's a bounty hunter. He lives a dangerous life. But with that not being canon, I don't know whether they'll even address that or not. So I'm thinking they're not gonna.
All right.
I'd like to mention also there. That Tales of the Bounty Hunters also had the worst story ever about IG-88, how he became the Death Star.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
That's
terrible. Well, one of the parts of IG-88, because there are four of them.
But then he died.
But then he blew himself up.
Yeah, so that happened.
It was good, IG-88. Almost killed all humans.
And then almost. He failed. Way to go, almost Bender. Hey, baby, want to destroy all humans?
Seriously, though, that was pretty much the character.
I know.
So, you know, and that the interesting thing is that because a lot of this has not become canon, a lot of the bounty hunters who had these really tragic backstories and continued future lives that that could occur, or even the redemption. For example, there's two or three of them that actually retired, like, for long, extended periods of time and had, like, families and happiness and weird stuff. You don't have that anymore. You took that back. Mm-hmm. Yep. You don't get it. Now it's...
You get none of these things, and you will like it.
Yes, and you will deal with it.
It's all legend now. Sorry, Grand Admiral Thrawn.
No, absolutely. You know, you have all the sadness, but I have to weigh in that I believe that Boba Fett will not be in this one at all. I really want him to be. Mine is actually half the argument that Derek stated of. They try their best to parallel these films in particular thematic overlays. The other bit is that I feel that he is going to be the grand reveal character like he always has been. And we have too many other characters who are going to be introduced that we know about to offer another Deus Ex Machina like Boba Fett, who's just like, whoa, what's he capable of doing? Literally anything. We named him Boba Fett. Like, oh, so like if I have a problem in a script, I can just Boba Fett. Oh,
okay,
yeah. Well, how did he get out of that rocket
Boba
pack?
Fett. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I feel like this is rocket launcher. Well, what about flamethrower? Man,
Slave One.
Listen, we really can't get in. Like, how are we gonna beat him? Dumbest way possible.
Yeah. Throw him in a giant vagina pit.
With teeth, vagina dentata.
Yep.
And you said vagina.
Damn it.
You did. You started.
Tony's not here, so we're not banned from saying vagina anymore.
It's true.
Tony banned us from saying
honest,
vagina.
That really looked like a creepy... The original one. Not the special edition with the Shai Hulud mouth that was straight up Dune.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Screw you, George Lucas, for all your special editions and editions.
Which is why I'm excited that they have announced that the original three are going to be released.
Oh my god, I am so amped. I just want to see the movies so I don't have to watch them on freaking VHS that are worn to shit. Only copies I have of those.
The only reason why you still have a VCR.
Yeah, I have the VCR DVD combo.
I can get rid of this thing as soon as this thing comes out,
right.
So I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Between that and the E.T. with them changing the guns to flashlights, like, you are a piece of shit.
I was just talking about that.
None of your changes were for the better.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, person number two has not shown up at all, but he is a pivotal part of all of the films throughout. C-3PO, Lindsay, what do you think?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Probably in just some tiny little, like, his head's just on a shelf somewhere.
Like handles from Doctor
Who.
Just pucks around and he just says annoying things
that
you kind of love him in an endearing way, but you also wish he'd just stop talking.
Exactly.
Okay,
yes.
I can see that. Derek, what do you think?
Goodness gracious me, I think he's got to be there as much as I hate him.
You hate C-3PO?
I hate C-3PO.
Okay, I got to
hear that. He was the original trilogy's Jar Jar.
He was the Jar Jar.
He was the Jar Jar of the original.
Oh my god. You totally ruined the original trilogy for me now.
Him to prove how
the happiest moment of that was in Cloud City on Bespin when he got destroyed. I was like, finally,
when the Ugnat just tore him apart,
tore him to pieces.
Yeah. He was the straight man to R2-D2's badassery. Mm-hmm. You needed that dichotomy.
He was the Vince Vaughn to his Luke Wilson, or Owen Wilson, is it maybe one of the Wilsons?
Either, both. You know, the worst thing about R2-D2's foul mouth and having to bleep literally everything he says was, you know, poor C-3PO trying to explain everything away for him. Like,
yeah,
you're kind of an idiot, but yeah, no, you can totally try and do that. I'm going the other way, dick. You get a secret mission, my ass. Like, effectively, if 3PO were more like Bender with just like instead of being like a really polite, like, well, no, you know, like, and just walking away all the time and just being like, bite my shiny metal ass, and just walked away.
What if they reprogrammed him to be an asshole?
I mean, it's possible. In quite a few of the Marvel Star Wars comics, they have some very sassy droids, including actually Star Wars Rebels. They have Chopper, who is just a practical joker and kind of a dick.
Yeah.
And he just, like, zaps people and, like, pushes them off planes and, like, meh. He's just like, it probably wasn't going to kill you. I thought it was hilarious. Like, most of what you do is really dangerous, man. You should maybe rethink your life. So,
yeah.
No, but I think that's an entirely valid option for 3PO. I personally, I have a very strong suspicion he's going to be in it. And I think he's actually going to have a fairly pivotal role as it continues on. I don't know how important by way of action like it is in the first, in the original three. I think it's going to be more of the axillary but progressive of plot indicators that the 1-3 have. So the next question, of course, is whether or not everybody's favorite plausible Sith Lord will make an appearance.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Will Jar Jar Binks be in this film?
He's Kylo Ren.
Only if his head is on a spike.
Only if his head is on the spike?
I need Jar Jar to die.
You need him
is
to
the die? Only way that'll redeem
what
the original.
What is the lifespan of the...
A Gungan?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably too long.
Probably, because they're terrible.
I mean, in the way of Jar Jar, who has literally not died yet, despite literally the universe trying. Like, everything in the universe trying to kill him. He's still
Wasn't
there.
Wasn't there, like, a deleted scene, though, where he died?
I don't know that.
I swear there was when they were coming up to the submarine thing.
I've heard this.
And he, like, goes over a waterfall and dies, and everyone's happy, but they took it out, because why would George Lucas ever let anyone be happy in one of his movies after the first ones?
No, of course not. He was going to introduce Metacorium.
Yeah.
No.
It's like the mitochondria of Parasite Eve.
That's exactly... Whoa.
Actually, you were really
late 90s video game reference.
Yeah,
he was so
bad.
Proud of himself on that one.
Was.
Guttural
was
noises coming
no.
out of it.
So Jar Jar, what do you think? Is he going to
no.
make an appearance? Not going to make an appearance?
No, I think J.J. Abrams is smarter than that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What if he was the ultimate troll? Like,
that's what I'm thinking. See, this is the other side of me, because J.J. Abrams, he loves staying court of common for all of the lore, but he's also very particular about making sure that everything. He has this really good lecture actually on movies need to be like surprises in a box. And you unwrap something and you're like, oh, it's a gift, but then you notice that there's a gift in the gift, and there's a gift in the gift.
Some of
the
stacking
always
dolls.
Yep, there's
Russian
always another,
dolls, yeah.
There's always another surprise that keeps you wanting to engage more. Like, and that like every little reveal is this bigger reveal that's yet to come, and that's why you continue to push and to engage and to want. That's why things like the Star Trek films, you have no idea what's going on through most of the first half of both movies. And he does a wonderful job, because you don't know. You have no idea, even all the way up through, like, setting out false flags. Like, literally recording extra scenes for the second Star Trek film and having Carl Urban drop bad information on accident.
Right.
In interviews, so that people would think there's a different character or a different plot line entirely. That way, everyone is surprised when they get to the movie. Like, how brilliant is that kind of a campaign? So I think that, I don't think it's going to happen, but I want it to. I want there to be Jar Jar Binks for a moment. I don't think it'll be anything big, but I do think that there is going to be some nod, some allusion to him.
I just had a mild reaction to that.
Yeah, everybody's gonna just crack up and be like, ha, 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 oh, we remember that pain, and it's gonna be okay. Like, it's gonna be, like, we're gonna feel better about it.
There's no way anything with Jar Jar Binks is ever gonna be okay.
Well, see, you know, it'd be really funny if they had, I don't know if they have, like, a Star Wars version of Halloween, but if they had that, kids dressed up like Jar Jar.
Right.
And it was the most terrifying
He's
thing
my
you
favorite
could...
galactic senator.
That's the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Fuck Jar Jar. Fuck
oh,
him.
Oh.
Oh, Misa Dirks.
I mean, seriously.
Misa Dirks. Misa Dirks.
Like Brian Posehn said, episode one is my Vietnam.
This is very aptly said.
I think there's punches that are going to get thrown here.
Probably.
Might happen.
It's okay. I could take a hit. No, so we have Jar Jar Binks, and he did make it all the way through the Clone Wars series, which I was shocked that he didn't have some ill-begotten end near right. the end of, like, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, you can kill all the kids with your lightsaber and then give it to your son, secretly. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the last thing this lightsaber guy used for was murdering a bunch of children. Here you go.
Cool. It's a great plan. But, you know, Jar Jar did it, and he's the one that killed all of our inner child. Yeah. I mean, who's the bigger monster?
Touché.
Right? So, next one, actually, is do you think Metachlorians are going to make an appearance in this new trilogy? Or, specifically, in this next film?
I don't think so, because they tried to distance so much in the second two movies from Midichlorians.
They do drop a reference in each one of the other two films.
They do, but
for one word.
It's not as prevalent as it was in the first movie. Like, oh, everyone's got a bunch of Midichlorians. Like, it's a blood test. You can get told if you have the HIV.
Yep. And more than the HIV.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, this wonderful disease that you hunt. It's full-blown AIDS. Like, it runs your life from now on.
Yeah. Yes, but maybe snarkily, so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think J.J. Abrams is going to try and over-science it.
Yeah?
I think he's going to pull some, like, really great rationale that we're all happier with.
With some lens flare?
Probably. No, I think honestly, I think that Metachlorians are, in fact, going to make an appearance. I think that it's going to be in a way that J.J. Abrams makes us feel better about them.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm a purist. I thought that was terrible.
I'm not arguing. I was not happy about it, but I have a feeling that he's going to be like, well, we understand it as you know, these microscopic beings, but what it really is, it's the universe, right? It's the spark of creation in all things, and being like really existential about it, and then I can be like, oh, you see, because that makes more sense, and maybe Liam Neeson's character, Qui-Gon Jinn, just didn't have a good grasp.
Right.
He's got a pretty big hole to dig himself out of after episode one.
Oh, I'm not arguing.
Or two. Two was terrible, too. Three was okay.
I didn't mind three. I mean, there was the posting that we just recently were chatting about this week about the order in which people rank
yes. The
Star Wars films.
Empire.
Yes.
Empire being number one for most people. Number two being Star Wars A New Hope, and the third one being Return of the Jedi. Yeah. Meaning that the bottom three are the new three.
Right.
In the order of 3-2-1.
Yeah. Which this was on USA Today, I think, is where I saw this.
Yeah.
And I 100% completely agree with the order that was posted in.
Because it really is a story not necessarily about Anakin, because he's kind of a bitch. It's more Luke and his development. So giving that backstory later, afterwards, about everything with Darth Vader really helped, I think.
Yeah.
But just wipe out episode one, because that thing sucks.
Yeah. Well, there was also the option to be able to watch through them with it being A New Hope, followed by Empire Strikes Back, and then two and three. New, and then watching Return of the Jedi, and watching the story progression, like, there's an extended flashback.
Right.
It actually feels better if you watch it that direction, because you also get this, like, oh, maybe this is just kind of, like, everybody's memory of this occurrence, and that's why it's a little fantastical.
Yeah, I think not watching chronologically is the way to go.
Yeah.
Especially being a kid that grew up with 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, yeah, there's entire generations of people that just lived their whole awesome Star Wars life without episodes 1, 2, and 3, and they are just fine.
That said, hilarious moment was that video that Matt posted this week on his Facebook of his kid watching Empire for the first time.
Oh,
did you see that?
Great.
He doesn't like his daddy?
Yeah, actually, you know what? We may post that with Matt's permission. We may post that to the Drunk on Comics page.
We totally should.
Because it was amazing.
It was good. It wasn't quite as big a reaction as Matt was expecting, but it was more of the, like, what? He doesn't like his dad? They're fighting? Like, you just
that
like
was
he
more was, of his concern than the fact that he was his dad.
He was earnestly concerned that you could be mad at daddy.
Aww, like, and which is cute.
It is.
And that's a great rationalization for this film. Which, you know, brings us to most of the rest of this series. Like, Luke and Leia are going to have some major daddy issues that they're going to work through on this one. I mean, Leia was at least fortunate enough to be raised with a loving family who looked out for her and took care of her.
Right.
She is the person she is today because of that. And Luke, not to say that his aunt and uncle didn't do a wonderful job, but he got thrown into the middle of something with these amazing turn of events that gave him these emotional challenges that he had to work through.
Luke did tend to seem to go off half-cocked quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even Yoda said that if he leaves his training early, he will turn to the dark side.
Right.
Which seems like foreshadowing for this new movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Moreover, the reason they didn't want to train Anakin at his ripe age of 7 was because of all of these things. Like,
right.
You know, oh, look, there's so much anger in him. He's dealing with his life as a slave, so on and so forth. Luke, before learning about the Force and all of this training and whatnot, comes into contact with his family being murdered.
Yeah.
Like all of these just this horrible calamities, one right after another, and he's almost 18. So, like, how much more angst and emotional attachment to the world around you do you have to that point? I mean, he even majorly fails in the dark side cave at Dagobah, at planet Dagobah with Yoda. Like, he's just like, what is in there, only what you take with you. And he goes down there and the dark side. Like, literally him as Darth Vader. Like, you are your father's son. This is your potential for greatness and defeat.
The sins of the father.
And it's exactly it. You're like, you have this, you have the potential to be this evil being. So,
is
the
he
last
gonna be
question,
evil?
Do you think we're going to see Luke as the Sith Lord?
No.
I think it's too easy, but I think there's potential. I don't think you would see it in this movie. I think they'd slow play it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It'll be a big reveal later on.
Episode 8 reveal.
No, absolutely.
This is another instance where I have a really hard time separating canon, what used to be canon, from what's not canon anymore.
Sure.
Because obviously Luke didn't... I mean, he dabbled in the dark side a little bit in the books.
He did
didn't
in
he?
That whole, like, Dark Empire comic series thing.
He actually went full-blown Dark Jedi.
Right.
And Leia had to pick up the lightsaber, literally, to bring him back after they found all of Emperor Palpatine's clones. Which, accordingly, all of these things are legends. Now.
Right. Oh, yeah. Instead of being canon, they're just legends.
Absolutely.
Right.
So it's feasible that a lot of this is like the folk tales that are told planet to planet about these potential heroes, these names that have been circulating on the wire, so that, you know, we can figure out who's done these great things, what they're capable of, what great things they could be doing in the future, and the everything in between. So he could very well pull and say, like, oh no, this one's going to be canon now. This was one of those stories that got passed along, but it was 100% true.
Right.
This, clones, really, clones of the Emperor, like, that's clearly something that your crazy uncle says and you shed when he's drinking. Like,
right.
And, you know, he had the ability to pick and choose the best of his story arcs.
True.
Plus, there's a whole, like, story arc in the books about how clones can't have Force powers because they're not original.
Yeah, that's right. There was all of that. However, that didn't mean that they didn't have the knowledge of it.
True.
So I don't remember, and I can't remember if the clones, the Emperor Palpatine's clones, could use the Force. I feel like they couldn't, but they were able to persuade Luke to do dark side things.
Right.
So that would be interesting to see, like, whether or not he's going to circulate. I personally, I don't feel that he is going to be the Dark Lord in here. I do have a feeling he's going to have the Qui-Gon Jinn relationship to the Force, though, where he has a lot of controversial feelings on it. You know, Qui-Gon Jinn was asked to join the Jedi Council multiple times, but turned him down because he disagreed with how the Force should be used.
Right.
So I feel like...
Also didn't turn into a Force ghost when he died.
What?
Did you ever notice that Qui-Gon did not turn into the creepy Force ghost?
He does.
He does?
Yeah, he's the one who discovers that whole thing.
He's the one who passed it on to Yoda.
You don't. I don't
and
think you ever see, like, the ghost form of him, but you hear.
But
his
you see
voice.
His body.
So
you see his actual body versus everyone else that just vanished.
Right. Well, so here's the important part. It turns out that as the story comes across, in canon is, of course, Star Wars Rebels and Star Wars Clone Wars.
Oh, is this Clone Wars? Because I never finished watching it.
The last season of Clone Wars. And this is a spoiler, so... Well, actually, you know what? This has been out for like over a year.
Clone Wars has been out for a while.
Yeah, so get your act together, guys. Seriously. This is very important because Qui-Gon actually reaches out to Yoda and has Yoda go to Dagobah to learn the ability to... Or actually to this special planet where they teach him. And he says, I was not able to finish my training on this. They came to me to do this. These are like these celestial force beings who are like pure embodiment of the emotions of the force that all together make purity.
Yes. One's dark
sounds
and one's
very
light.
Green Lantern.
Yeah.
It is. It's very much like, you know, there's one joy and sorrow and anger. And like, they together, they are the force. They are the embodiment of everything. And so they bring these five sisters. It's five. Bring Yoda through all of these challenges on this planet, even to make Yoda face his dark side self, and then bring him to Dagobah, where he is revealed the grand mastery of being able to remain corporeal in an embodiment, like effectively an agent of the Force, like of neutrality in the Force. After death.
So I should probably finish watching Clone Wars.
Absolutely, you should watch it by Thursday.
I'll get right on that.
Yeah. I think the Clone Wars episodes that were after they got kicked off, what was it, Cartoon Network?
Yep.
They're the best ones.
They get significantly more existential.
Yeah.
They're okay.
So much larger. In like the last four or five episodes of that season actually... are the arguments for Yoda. So, like, in the last couple, like, all you have is Yoda hanging around doing Yoda stuff. And it just follows him, which is awesome.
Right.
But ironically, the one who helped Yoda break out, because nobody thinks Yoda's going crazy because he's a billion years old, effectively they do, oh, Yoda, you're hallucinating.
Yoda has Alzheimer's.
Because you've got Yoda timers, and that's not good. And
so, like, Yoda timers.
They're really worried about him. And so, like, he literally, like, calls in Anakin, and he's just like, hey, so you're really good at not following directions. I need you to break me out of here. And he's just like, what? And Yoda just, like, hops up and he's just like, well, I'm going to tell him you did anyway. And he just starts walking. Like, it's just like, shit or get off the pot, Anakin. Like, this is your life. Like, you have literally made yourself do this. And so... it's just interesting that his downfall is actually, he's the agent of his own downfall in the future because of this.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be interesting to see that. So my last, are we going to see them? Are we going to see the Force Ghosts?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You think so?
I think so.
I think they're not going to show up in this next film.
No?
I don't think so. I think there's too much, I think it's going to play more like in the canonical reoccurrence theory, where there were no Force Ghosts in the first one outside of Ben's voice. I don't believe we're going to have that because the people who are just now being introduced have no knowledge of the Force, of a greater power to speak.
Luke's still there, though.
Is he?
Well, we know that Luke's in this.
Somehow. But we don't know that he's a mentor.
I feel like it's still like... Maybe
he could be all in flashbacks.
Maybe he'll hit this point in it where he needs it. Okay, so everyone knows Rey is Luke's daughter, right? They announced that.
Yeah.
I'm not giving anything away.
Nope.
So I think eventually he's going to have to come to this point where he has to advise her, but he doesn't know how, so he's going to need his advisors to advise him. It's going to be like a whole chain, an advisory chain.
That's very possible. We also have... the very real possibility that Ahsoka Tano could still be alive. Or that she could be dead and a Force Ghost, because they're still allowing her to have a very intricate part of the Rebels series. So,
right.
That's all through there. She's showing up in the comic books still, so on and so forth. Which brings us actually to our Booze in the Book today. Brought to you by Ink Whiskey. Go and buy their drink pack.
Their drink pack.
I got my pack of bartender stuff. It was very fun. I made a lot of Triforce ice cubes.
Yeah. Triforce ice cubes?
So, 2 weeks till Christmas, guys. If you don't know what to get somebody for Christmas, and all your friends like to drink, which, if they're your friends, they probably like to drink, then go to inkwhiskey.com. Just fucking click a button at random, order something. It doesn't matter what it is. It's all
that,
awesome.
That zapper bottle opener, I think I can kill someone with.
That's what I said last week. I was like, it's like a good tent. Like, it's
so heavy.
Don't use it for that. It's to open bottles.
I think you can open wax sealed bottles with that.
Come on, you can open a wine bottle with it.
Only use your force for good.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, check them out. Buy some shit. Send it to people.
Just warp pipe shots. Just teleport yourself to another frame of existence. Hey, Star Wars.
Yay, Star Wars. Oh,
what? Fiat?
Commercial.
No.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay.
So,
who's in a book?
Yes. Vader down.
Right.
It's the newest release for the overarching Vader story that's leading up. This occurs between episodes 4 and 5, after their word gets out that Luke is this agent, and he's kind of figured out that, oh, this is my son. So he's trying to track him down. And Vader actually goes out to this rebel outpost where he believes that Luke is, according to his information from his network of very loyal out of, I'm pretty sure, nothing but fear, but a support network, or a spy network, because there's multiple times he's just like, even telling the person who's feeding the information, so if this is a trap or you're wrong, I am going to murder you.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh. They also have this really cute moment at the very beginning where they're static every time one or both of them swears.
Okay.
So, like, literally, like, Vader swears, apparently. Did not know this. But, or does he?
I feel like if I were Vader, I would swear, but I also am not Vader and swear.
Right. So that's the most amazing thing to me, is that they were just like, you had better hope that this part kills me. Like... We don't know. We can assume that it was like better. Well,
yeah,
because he never actually swears in the original trilogy or at the beginning one. But it's comic books in Marvel, and they allow that.
I think James Earl Jones swearing would be adorable.
Oh my god!
I would love that.
James Earl Jones could say anything, and it's just like, oh.
I would.
It's like my grandpa telling me a story.
Yeah.
Yep. It'd be interesting to see. It was very good, though. The whole story arc is good. It's a five-parter that is going to be divvied up amongst a bunch of other storylines through Star Wars and the traditional Vader storyline as well. I believe there's another one that it's going to have like a one-stop on. But Vader Down is the over-arc where he is going to be trapped on a planet with no indigenous life that the rebels have a base on, a secret base that's a refueling station, effectively. But not only that, there's a regiment on the planet, and they dispatched a battalion to help hunt down Vader on this planet. There's also an abandoned Jedi temple.
Okay.
And so we see Luke actually walking by. The reason Luke was on this planet was to visit this and to connect with the Force, because apparently Ben can only show up, you know, during plot points.
Yeah.
When it's important.
When it's important.
Yeah.
So, you know, instead of waiting for Obi-Wan to say something, he kind of goes to this plane and he hears about this Jedi temple, and he sits there through there, and, you know, after he crash lands, he actually doesn't shoot down Vader, because you can't have Luke shooting down Vader. That would be a power struggle. No, Luke flies his plane into Vader's plane. So, like, it's X-Wing to TIE Fighter, just deflector to deflector, and they just... They crash and burn all the way down.
Okay.
Landing in separate areas, and they're both stranded on this planet. Luke literally is walking by the front of the temple going, well, I guess this is going to have to wait, Jedi training, and, like, gotta go help my friends beat Vader, because he'll murder all of them.
Yes.
And I'm clearly the only capable one, because you blew up a Death Star, you have, like, this cock-in-the-walk attitude already. Like, you've had zero training outside of what we saw in episode 4, but you're just going to walk along.
Well,
like,
I mean, he took down the Death Star, so...
He did take down the Death Star, and, you know, he is Anakin's kid, so I feel like part of that, like, that asshole cheating behavior is just genetic.
Yeah.
Because Leia has a lot of it, too. Hers is just much more
rebellious nature.
Oh,
yeah. For sure.
Not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
Anyway, what we did is we paired that book this week, Vader Down, with The Galactic Empire by Right Brain Brewing Company from Traverse City.
Yes.
It is a fabulous hoppy beer. It is also wicked strong at 7%. It's actually very, very flavorful. It's a beautiful... I had not had it in quite some time until I was reminded, like, you know, beers I should get while I'm prepping up for Star Wars this week. Right Brain actually has Galactic Empire, and they also have Dark Side.
Yes.
And both of them are solid choices. So if you're really looking to get into your Michigan craft beer and really get into your Star Wars, go check out Right Brain Brewery. They've got some really wonderful stuff, and totally worth it.
Right Brain is
delicious.
By far one of my favorite Michigan breweries.
Oh, absolutely. So. We actually may do an on-location up there. So, Rick Green Brewery, we are officially calling you out. If you would like us to come in there and deal with our shenanigans on an afternoon.
Who doesn't?
You get a hold of us.
We have references.
We do. and we'll even let some of them be real people.
True.
All right.
So, any final thoughts, guys?
No, except that I'm really excited to see Star Wars.
I am too.
Me too.
And I can't wait to spoil it for everybody afterwards.
Absolutely.
So who's dressing as a hobbit for that?
I am not. I'm going to look like a hobbit anyway, just because of how I'm shaped. So
that's, just walking barefoot.
That's where life... they don't let you into the movie that way.
That's true.
They're very particular about
and
that.
And also, I wouldn't go into a movie theater with no shoes on.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have just redone all of the ones... In the area, all the celebrations are being completely refurbished. Now there's assigned seating and like numbers on your seats, and that's how they're doing all of their movies on the west side of the state from now on.
Okay.
So I imagine it's going to be cleaner because nobody's been in there yet.
Right.
They're pretty much debuting this. I think they finished construction on Wednesday, and it's open Thursday for the first show.
Okay.
So, I mean, it could be clean enough, but I still don't think they're going to let me in.
I heard a bunch of the theaters in the Star Theater on Alpine as well are all like Lazy Boys now.
They have recliner seating. Yes.
It's crazed.
Yeah, they're smaller. They're significantly less seats. Because
the place is never busy anyways, though.
Right.
So.
Right. Oh, well, no, they're gonna...
they needed to be remodeled.
Yeah, that was exactly it. And Celebration is the same thing. The first two rows down at the bottom are all recliners that you can kick back and relax, and it's a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll be very cool. I guess our final thought then is may the force be with you. Because
and
that
with
is,
your spirit?
What was that?
And with your spirit?
And with your spirit. And also with you, because I didn't attend Catholic Church after
the
exam.
The force is with you. Always.
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 Yeah. So that's our final thought on tonight. Please pay attention, because we will have a special podcast with Jay from An Elegant Weapon coming up shortly after the film premiere. And there will be lots of spoilers in there. So if you're not seeing it premiere night or premiere weekend, don't listen to that podcast. Just go and grab it. And watch the film before you do it, because then you can join in thinking about all the cool things that we saw too. So, yeah.
Tweet us, check us out on Facebook. Got any Star Wars questions? If we got Jay on the show, we'll have the answers.
Feed them up on that one, because I would love to argue Jay on some really like higher thought process points. This would be a lot of fun. Derek and Jay and I love getting into arguments about Star Wars stuff.
It's awesome. It's true. We're terrible people. So.
Yeah.
All right. So look forward to that, you guys.
And please. Have a wonderful week.
Stay thirsty.